This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, you're listening to Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. One of the most interesting aircraft in the fleet, the military's V-22 Osprey, combines the vertical takeoff and landing capabilities of a helicopter with the speed, range, and service ceiling of a turboprop. Today, we're speaking with Major Wes Spade, an Osprey pilot based at the Marine Corps Air Station New River in Jacksonville, North Carolina. We're going to find out what it's like to fly the aircraft and some of its unique characteristics. Major Spade, welcome.
Good afternoon, Glenn. Good to be here.
Now, let's start with the basics. How long have you been flying the Osprey, and what was the training like?
Well, Glenn, I transitioned from the CH-46 helicopter to the MV-22 in 2005. Transition training took approximately 5 to 8 months, and after that, it was back to the fleet and starting to accept V-22s for our fleet squadron.
Now, we have an aircraft that's a fixed wing and a helicopter, and coming from a helicopter background, there's no collective in the Osprey, I understand. What's the control layout like? What do you have in which hand, and which hand does what? What are we looking at in the cockpit?
Sure. Initially, looking in the cockpit, it looks very similar to a legacy helicopter. The mechanical flight controls consist of cockpit controls, and then we have electro-hydraulic mechanical flight controls. The cockpit controls themselves consist of a conventional pitch and roll stick or a cyclic stick, which we're pretty all familiar with. Rudder pedals are the same. They control yaw. And then instead of a collective, we have a TCL, or what's called a thrust control lever. All the associated linkages are under the cockpit flooring at that point. But the thrust control lever itself is slightly different than a traditional collective. It is a multifunction device that provides flight crew with the capability of controlling engine power. Forward or aft movement of the TCL is translated by flight control computers into a power demand signal that's sent to the engines itself. So in helicopter mode, pushing the TCL forward will increase collective like a traditional collective. In airplane mode, pushing the TCL forward will increase thrust.
So I've read that the aircraft has a triple redundant fly-by-wire control system, but as you mentioned, there are some mechanical linkages in the cockpit area. How does it feel? Do the controls feel like aircraft controls, or is it more like a video game controller?
Cockpit control feels very similar to traditional helicopter controls. Cockpit control position is provided by, like we said before, the flight control computers, by 16 different what are called LVDTs, or linear variable differential transducers. Four LVTs are connected in each of the control axes in the pitch and the roll and the yaw and thrust. Each transducer supplies a dedicated signal to each of the flight control computers. The received digital signal is then processed in the flight control computers and supplies a corresponding signal to the electrohydraulic actuators and the flight control surfaces themselves. So for thrust, the FCC supply this power demand signal to each of the engine's digital computers to schedule desired thrust.
Now, how important are those computers in the equation? Can the aircraft fly without them?
Well, with most fly-by-wire vehicles, computers are essentially acting as control rods and bell cranks, so they are essential for safe handling. One of the three onboard flight control computers is required for aircraft handling. To lose all three FCCs would be extremely rare. Two of the three FCCs are powered by dual electrical redundancy, and one of the FCCs with triple redundancies to include owning its own dedicated 1.5 amp hour battery.
Okay, well, let's talk flight characteristics. When acting as a helicopter, how is the Osprey different from a traditional one, and how is it the same?
It's much easier to describe the very few differences between helicopters and tilt rotors than to try to compare all the similarities, because they are very similar when it comes to flying the actual aircraft. But the differences, there's a few of them. From a pilot's perspective, in conversion or VTOL mode, where the aircraft is kind of flying as a helicopter, it flies very similar to the way traditional helicopters feel. The V-22 is primarily engineered, developed, and tested by subject matter experts from the helicopter community. The biggest difference that I've seen between legacy helicopters and the V-22 is the larger dust signature during desert landings. But larger dust signature is by virtue of the large amount of downwash coming from the prop rotors. While this may seem like an additional concern for conducting safe landings, there are precise systems in the aircraft that allow us to maintain excellent situational awareness in that environment and actually reduces the rates for wave-offs or go-arounds. From a passenger's perspective, there are a few more G-forces to contend with. My passengers definitely feel the increased acceleration while transitioning forward and can feel more lateral Gs while turning.
Well, now, acting as an aircraft, the aircraft does have some unique design characteristics. For example, the 6-degree forward swept wing. What benefits does that provide, and do you have any sense of that while the aircraft is in the air?
There is no noticeable handling effects with the forward swept wing. One perceived advantage of the forward swept wing is increased maneuverability due to airflow from wingtip to the wing root, preventing the stall of the wingtips and flaperons. Instead, a more symmetrical stall should occur at the region of the wing root on the forward swept wing, but we don't feel that those sort of noticeable effects with that forward swept wing.
Are there any sort of gyroscopic forces that get translated into the flight system by those very large blades swinging around way out there on the wingtips?
There's no gyroscopic forces felt in any flight mode. You know, the prop rotors are synced together, and they counter-rotate to cancel out any asymmetric roll.
What about failure modes? The engines are way out there on the wingtips, and there are some unique features in the drive system. Can you describe those, please? How does the aircraft protect itself from an unlikely single or dual engine failure?
Well, the interconnecting drive shaft system, it synchronizes the prop rotors, and it has the ability to transfer power between prop rotor systems. The ICDS, or the interconnecting drive system, is identical both physically and functionality on each side of the aircraft. So if one engine fails, the ICDS transmits power directly through those interconnecting shafts to the opposite gearboxes to power the other side or to power that failed engine. For dual engine failures, the aircraft can still glide. It has a 4.5-to-1 glide ratio and can accomplish a nacelle down landing in airplane mode. In conversion mode, the aircraft can enter auto-rotation and land safely if need be. Both dual-engine failures and auto-rotations are regularly practiced in the flight simulator here at New River.
Now, the aircraft transitions between different flight modes. Does the pilot have to do any transitioning? What are your hands doing? Which hand is doing what to control the aircraft?
Well, your left hand in helicopter mode is simply controlling collective, up or down. And then drift forward, back, left, and right is done with the right hand with the cyclic. Once nacelles are controlled and transitioned forward, all from the left thumb wheel, which pushes the nacelles forward and back, all with one control lever on your left thumb, at around 45 degrees nacelle, then your controls start to take on different roles and responsibilities. Now, if you want to descend or climb, or bank left or right, now you're still using the cyclic, your right hand. If you want to increase thrust or decrease thrust, then you're still using the TCL with your left hand.
Well, to you, what's the most interesting part of flying this thing, and what's the scariest? Why did you choose to fly the Osprey?
The choice for me was a simple one. My squadron that I had been a part of with and had deployed over to Iraq with was doing the transition. So it was a simple decision for me to stay and remain with the squadron, a squadron that I'm very dear to, and accept this important transition that Marine Aviation was going through. So the decision was rather easy. To this day, I'm still impressed at the multitude of missions the V-22 can accomplish. You know, from long range, over the horizon assault support, to performing life-saving casualty evacuations just a few miles away, the V-22's potential is unlimited. As far as scary moments, you know, I've had scarier moments in my previous helicopter platform. This is a very benign, it's a very simple aircraft to fly with some incredible cockpit systems that keep the aircrew well informed about the health of the aircraft and help build excellent situational awareness when task loading really becomes saturated.
It's fascinating. We thank you for taking time to share your insights with us. This has been Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. We've been speaking with Major Spade, an Osprey pilot at MCAS New River. Major, thanks for what you do. And to everyone else out there, thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.